Imagine Mike likes that about him. Even if there never was a real battle until Wilson got hurt and then actually opened the door for this to happen. That's how I think it works. Mike always says what? I treat everybody fair, but fair isn't always equal. And yes. I think that applies to like how you choose to motivate a player versus another player. I do. I don't think that that's just like what allowances a player gets. Like AB had special rules or Ben had special rules because of what they were capable of on the field. If you're a really good coach, you have to know certain guys will respond to certain things certain ways. And you have to cater to that. And he must, I think he thinks Fields is fine sort of quote-unquote looking over his shoulder and not being declaratively the man yet because he's played well. He's continued to just stack good performances with this being the situation. Why would that change now?
I just don't think this should be a game-to-game thing anymore.
I think if he plays one more game, it might not be, and that would be the magic number. You'd have gone essentially a quarter of the season with this guy if you're 4-0 being really good. And then you have a hard conversation with Russ, and maybe you do trade Russ.
All right, so just total hypothetical. They go to Indianapolis, they lay an egg, and Fields throws two interceptions, and Wilson is cleared to play in this game, but they don't play him. You think that Tomlin sticks with Fields and he starts against the Cowboys?
Do I think Mike would?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Then he's not his starting quarterback then. Then he really is one bad game away from losing his job. It is still then very much in limbo.
Two interceptions was an important part of that hypothetical. If he just has like a milquetoast game where he doesn't make a ton of plays, but he also doesn't turn the ball over, I think Mike would think
at some
think about
I just,
it.
I know they got away with it last year and played three. I just think at some point it is good for the entire team and the player himself to pick somebody.
I don't disagree with that. I'm saying I think you can get away with it for one more week. But I think even if he plays poorly, I'd still give him a shot. But if he plays well, I think this would be it. Like, four games in, you are our guy.
I know, but you say it, though, like Tomlin would still have some temptation to go back
to Russell
Wilson.
I think Mike is a very stubborn guy who is very, I'm sure, observant of the fact that around the league, everyone's offenses are sucking compared to what they usually do. He probably feels like, wow, my approach, my preferred way of winning is even more valid and viable this year.
And if Fields were to go against that, like Trubisky did in Indianapolis last year,
it's more of
yoink.
A sin. Well, it's more of a sin than it would be if, hey, we need a ton of points because everyone's filling it up right now. Here is the thing about the Colts as an opponent that is really interesting to me. Their defense sucks in terms of giving up yards.
They got no corners.
Their best run stuffer
is horrible. Hurt.
Well, they gave up only 63 rushing yards to the Bears, but the previous two teams put 200-plus on them.
Williams threw for 363.
They have forced four turnovers. They forced three in the Bears game. But if you don't turn it over against them, the yards are there to be had and presumably the points, too. So it's an interesting litmus test. They seem vulnerable enough that you'd want to take a lot of shots, but I also feel like it's probably you got to continue to be patient.
Donnie, if Fields had a bad game next week, do you think he'd lose the job? You think his grasp on the job is that flimsy where one bad game and he's out?
Now, is this where you are asking what I would do or
this is Tomlin.
I do have the fear, like Chris does, that if it is a bad game, they will say, well, Russell's back. Justin did a really good job filling in. But
I think you gotta ride the. I think you gotta ride the wave with Fields now.
I mean, I
do too.
I do too. I want them to do that. I am sort of trying to present two positions, both what I would do and what I think the head coach has still got in the back of his mind because that's how he's wired. I'm not saying I defend it. He has shown enough, obviously, as a passer, especially in this last game, to make me feel like you've got to let it go with him because his legs are still a big part of this equation, and your offense fundamentally changes if Russell Wilson comes in because he does not run like that. He doesn't move like that. Here's what I wonder, too, about this. Donnie, I will kick this over to you since I rudely interrupted you. I wonder how much Tomlin leans on, because it was different when Matt Canada was here. Yes, yes, sir, no, sir. He was Tomlin's, you know, lackey, basically. Arthur Smith doesn't need the job. He's a billionaire if he wants to be. Arthur Smith has also been a head coach. I do think Mike respects guys who have had that like title because he knows the pressure that it entails.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how much more he's leaning on a guy like Arthur Smith in terms of this judgment than he would if somehow it was Matt Canada calling this and everything had played out the exact same way. I would think Smith's words carry more weight. Tomlin would trust his eval of the player here. hey, is he really looking as good as he looks? Was this interception, for example, yesterday, does he go to Smith and say, hey, was that his fault or not?
I think if Smith had his druthers, Fields would have been his guy from day one.
I would agree
with
that.
Just my opinion.
I would agree with that. But in that case,
so to answer your question, I think that Fields has an advocate in Arthur Smith.
I think he definitely does. I think part of the reason that Arthur Smith wouldn't have gotten his way in the first place is because Mike clearly had to make certain promises to Russell Wilson to get him to sign on. And by the way, at that point, Justin Fields was still a member of the Chicago Bears and would be for five more days.
I saw on ESPN today, they or was it ESPN or maybe it was somewhere else, they said, you know, at some point, Russell Wilson is going to play for the Steelers. And there was no clarification or they didn't expand on those thoughts, like because Fields has a penchant for getting injured or more that water is going to find its level with him. He's opening eyes and doing things on tape that these quarterback experts really did not see last year. And it's from Romo in real time to Orlovsky on TV just a few minutes ago on ESPN looking over my shoulder to some of the other people now that do this professionally that have huge followings on social media. Like, they came away from yesterday's game thinking, like, damn, the Steelers really have a legit quarterback. They have a guy. So I would not want it to be such a still make or break, do or die, sink or swim thing where it's like, all right, Justin, you were behind Russell Wilson when this started. You blew it against the Colts, but overall, you've done a good job. Just take your seat on the bench, and if we need you again, we'll let you know. I just hate that if that's ultimately where this goes, and I think I share your concern, like, that Tomlin might want to see what the offense looks like with Russell Wilson if Fields falters.
I was going to say, he'll only want to see that if Fields falters, because if he doesn't, even if Fields throws like another interception coming up in this game, if that's like the one hiccup, but otherwise they win, like this interception, they gave up -4 yards on the ensuing drive. It was fine. I think this is where Tomlin would just say, I like winning more than I like doing anything else.
But I'm also just intrigued by how Fields would come back off a bad game.
Like, you almost want to see one.
Yeah, how does this guy, all right, everything's been not easy, but he's known nothing but winning here so far in success. If he puts a bad game on tape, what's he play like the next week? Does it get in his head and it affects him 2 weeks in a row, or can he just flush it down the toilet and play
the way
like he did in the first couple games?
I mean, it is the question, how do you handle adversity? The way he's talked and the way he's acted on the field, the decisions he's made make me think he's like fully grooved in. But I mean, to make a golf analogy, it's, oh, I think I'm putting the ball really well. Well, how do you do after you miss like 3-4 footers in a row or something? Is the next one going in or not?
Romo called it the steal of the offseason because at the most, the Steelers are going to give up a 4th round pick for Fields if he plays more than half the snaps this year. It goes from a 6th to the 4th. How far can it climb the list of best trades in Steelers history?
Bettis is, for me, number one.
Right. Think about the draft deals they've made, though. How about Minka?
Are we just saying recent?
No, just ever.
Are we thinking more recent?
How about Minka?
Did they trade up to get Polamalu?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's got to be way up there.
They traded down for Casey Hampton.
I love Big Snack. He's not Troy. So I would say the Bettis deal, trading up to get Polamalu.
Minka?
The Minka deal.
Now, here's another one. It would take time to play out, but what if Porter just becomes an absolute stud? They traded Chase Claypool for the frickin' guy.
True. Although, I guess, yeah.
How about
Broderick Jones will become one of the best ones here eventually.
How about when they traded, I think, a 5th to Arizona for Bryant McFadden and got a 6th back in that deal, and that player ended up being Antonio Brown?
Pretty good one. I don't really think of those things. Like, it's almost so random that you would end up picking the player. I get it. You don't have the pick, you don't get the player. I think of more like the direct ones.
Think about what Donnie just said, though. They didn't know they were getting Joey Porter Jr.
I understand that pick. I understand
that.
I think of more the ones like in that day on the draft, like we have a player we've identified, not like next year we're going to have a chance to get so-and-so. To me, the Bettis trade is number one. If they win a playoff game this year with Fields, it immediately vaults right up there. It's easily in the top three with the Bettis and Polamalu deals. Because in both cases,
you'd put it ahead of Minka?
Well, yeah, because I think quarterback's still more important than safety. and he would have been the guy who would end almost a decade now. What are we at, 7 years of playoff futility? You'd have to put it above that. The other two guys you're putting it behind are Hall of...
I agree.
You know, you acquired Hall of Famers.
It's amazing that they fleeced the Bears on two trades like this. They got Joey Porter Jr. and Justin Fields, and what did the Bears have to show for it? Claypool's already gone, and we'll see what they do with the Bears, day three pick in this deal.
I was going to say the Bears can console themselves that if he does play here more than 51% of the snaps, they get that sweet, sweet fourth-round pick instead of a sixth. You think Ryan Poles just has Khan's number actually blocked? Like, Khan can't even get into touch with him. He sends him a message. It just comes up as a green bubble, even though they're both on iPhones, because he just isn't even accepting texts. Ryan, what's up, man? Long time. Click.
Hey, you've got, what's the wide receiver?
Rome Odunze.
Keenan Allen there on the last year of his contract. We could use a guy. Any interest in making a deal?
Click.
Why don't I? Oh, there it is. Here's what I'm looking for. Yes, he just has that going off in his head whenever he sees Joey Porter Jr. make a player, Justin Fields.
I would love to know, by the way, just now that we're talking about this, we've heard some Bears fans that like hadn't quit Justin Fields yet, even though they had drafted Williams. Fields getting off to this start, Williams getting off to his start, man. I wonder what the sports talk is like in Chicago. At the
stay on the field as long as possible. Definitely tires them out. I think it was second quarter, maybe before the two-minute warning. They were glad that we actually didn't run a play because, you know, they were so tired. Our linebacker kind of made a joke over to us. It was like, appreciate y'all because they were so tired. But anytime you can, you know, keep their defense on the field for a long time with the run game and with the play-action pass, like you said, and have our defense on the sideline resting, that's a positive for sure.
Do you feel like the Steelers have found their quarterback? That's his voice, Justin Fields, 412-928-9370, the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Couple things here. Najee Harris seen in a sling today in the Steelers locker room. Very peculiar. Jeff Hathorn, our Steelers insider, 93.7thefan.com, said Najee talked after the game and was fine, at least outwardly. Did not have like anything holding him back, didn't mention it. Seemed like he was in great spirits after that game. And so this kind of popped up today, him and his arm in a sling. We'll see what Tomlin has to say about that tomorrow when he talks at noon here on The Fan. And the Steelers have signed an offensive tackle now that Troy Fautanu is out for the year, which was the only downer from this weekend. And the guy they signed is from the Patriots. It is not Chukwuma Okorafor, who quit New England and is now out of football because he got benched. It's a guy named Calvin Anderson who had malaria recently.
Don't forget the heart contusion.
And a heart bruise. Malaria is what the mosquitoes give you, right? That is these mosquitoes, man, are the kings of infectious disease. I hate mosquitoes.
Now,
mosquitoes are gross. I don't know, like, so what happens is they suck your blood. And then if it lands on me, does your blood go into my body? Or it's just that the tip of the mosquito's beak or nose is still... has your microscopic blood on it?
Good question. I've never thought of that. Man, and here I just...
Because a mosquito doesn't die after it sucks your blood the way that a bee would after it stings you.
You know what?
So that's how they're off spreading malaria, right? Because they're just
that's why
mixing people's blood.
That's why they have mosquito nets. I guess he was in Nigeria, which obviously is where if you travel to Africa from here, you have to get a bunch of different vaccines for things that are really contained to Africa disease-wise. I thought malaria and yellow fever until 2 minutes ago were the same thing.
Now,
yellow fever, apparently another different set of horrors.
Do mosquitoes just like human blood? Or will a mosquito suck your dog's blood, too?
Well, I think they get
after
animals.
Are they an equal opportunity? A cow's blood?
Oh,
horse
I think they're
blood?
I think they're on hippos. They're sucking them dry, too. They're taking blood from anybody.
So you might get an animal's blood in your system.
I thought they couldn't re-implant blood here. You're acting like they're little blood transfusers.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mulsey. Are they sanitizing their beak or whatever after they bite a cat and then coming over and biting you?
You're the only one I've ever heard worried about mosquito bite cross-contamination here.
Well, how else do you think malaria exists? That's the whole problem with malaria. It's the blood mixing.
Man, I guess I
hate to bring you down like that, but that's why... Mosquitoes, it's not just the
nuisance. You're right. You know what? I'm going to be honest. It's one of those things where you just hear, oh, yeah, mosquitoes spread malaria. I was like, those damn mosquitoes getting born with malaria.
It's not just the fact that you itch and stuff when they bite you. It's that they're, like, potentially putting other people's blood into your system, man. And
yeah, you're
good.
Right. I don't know why I just kind of blanked on that. It's apparently only female mosquitoes, Anopheles. That's the brand name of mosquito here that we're talking about.
Mark is in Allison Park. He's on the fan. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to weigh in on the quarterback discussion.
Sure.
I think Fields has earned the job. He looks like he has really good command.
What
out
does
there.
Earning the job he, mean
well,
to you?
He threw some incredibly accurate passes.
What does earning the job mean to you? What is earning the job?
I think, as you said, Tomlin should just announce him as the starter.
And so he's tomorrow. Not on a short leash anymore.
Not in my mind. And another thing, the idea of trading Russ.
Yep.
No. You've got a situation here that hasn't been seen since Joe Montana was backed up by Steve Young. I mean, talent-wise, I'm not comparing them, you know, to each other, but relatively. And, I mean, you have an elite championship defense here. Don't blow it by screwing up your quarterback situation.
Can I give you a hypothetical, Mark?
Sure.
What if I told you that, just like the 49ers want to do with the Steelers, what if the Steelers felt like the draft pick they could get for Russell Wilson could be used to get them a wide receiver to help them win this year?
No.
Still no.
I think they have what they need offensively, especially with this defense.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I got you.
I got a stat, by the way, for Fields we haven't brought up yet today, just for a second. Another indication how good and comfortable he looked yesterday. Average time to throw. What was the knock in Chicago, Pony?
Longest. Him and Russell Wilson, the longest.
He'd pat that football for almost 3.5 seconds. Yesterday, 2.72. Season now, down to 2.82.
Good. That's much improved.
Very. I mean, that puts you like firmly, I would say like mid-pack, really, of players. Like
he's getting better, man. Better situation, better environment, better coaching.
God, Andy Dalton got rid of the ball in 2.1 seconds yesterday. Jeez.
Think about that, though. Because Calvin Austin had a really good game and statistically the best game by a Steelers wide receiver so far this year, none of which I saw coming. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's a void. If the Titans, who are 0-3, and DeAndre Hopkins had a big game there yesterday, if they wanted to trade him, let's say, for a third-round pick, and you could get a third-round pick for Wilson, or a fourth-round pick, let's say you get a fourth-round pick, mm-hmm. you would feel better about trading your third if you knew that you were getting that pick back for Wilson, potentially. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the math and calculus that GMs do.
Correct.
So in that situation, like, that would make me feel, if I knew that I was trading out Russell Wilson and sacrificing some quarterback depth, and I was doing something that put a guy on the field now, not just as an insurance policy,
but someone now
who made that wide receiver room vastly better, I'm in.
How about the guy, I don't know if you saw him yesterday, how about you trade Russell Wilson, then you get a pick back and you can acquire that guy on Carolina who just went off big game yesterday?
Adam Thielen?
No, he pulled his hammy, the other guy, led him in receiving yardage. Big Deontay Johnson.
Is that right? Okay. I did see that. And Dalton was cooking. There's no way around that.
And then how about Ayuk just continuing
still sucking
to
ass?
Jawan
Jennings played like Jerry Rice yesterday.
And then there's a play where I guess Purdy had him pretty much wide open for what looked like at least like a 50-yard gain, and he didn't pull the trigger.
I hope he stinks in every game. Here's Sean next. Hello, Sean.
Hey, I think I called you guys 2 weeks ago talking about I thought Justin Fields, we should really just go forward with him and see what we're going to get. And I think that we've seen the wares of, you know, a good offensive coordinator and a strong head coach compared to what he had in Chicago, which, I mean, that was a dumpster fire. I have a bad feeling, though, that I'm trying to repress, screw this up, and for some reason try and force Russell Wilson into the picture.
So what, you just said a strong head coach, but now you're thinking the same strong head coach is going to try to make the wrong all the wrong moves, basically, with this situation.
Well, people do make mistakes, Mulsey.
Yeah, not me.
Good rebuttal, Sean.
I don't know. I mean, I think Tomlin is the central figure in this entire passion play, Sean, because he has to be getting won over by Fields in general. I don't think he's particularly beholden to promises he's made, even to a guy like Russ. I'm just wondering if he thinks that there's some nagging sentiment in the back of his mind that he would want to see what Russ would look like. But the other part of that we've already mentioned today is we both think Arthur Smith is more a Justin Fields guy. And if Tomlin is a little more deferential to Smith than he has been to Matt Canada, then he might be more inclined to listen.
I would be hoping that he would be more deferential, considering, like you guys were talking about earlier, you know, the head coach experience, the strong offensive coordinator. I think Fields is probably, I mean, Tannehill wasn't the athlete that Fields is, but I mean, he was a college wide.
He's a very good athlete, though. Sean, I mean, they're more similar than not.
Sean, is Fields, in your opinion, their next franchise quarterback?
I mean, I think we got to roll the dice with it. I mean, like we said, I mean, Eberflus was a horrible coach. They had no offensive coordinator. The way that he was progressing from read to read, from what I saw yesterday, I mean, he is the athlete that he can just go out and run if he wants to, but he wasn't. He was sitting.
You know what he does, Sean? He gives.
Thanks, Sean.
He's cracking out there a little bit. I just haven't said this about Fields. If you're Mike Tomlin and you're really trying to make this decision, and for whatever reason it's tough for you, do you want to know the God's honest truth? Fields gives him more wiggle room than Wilson does. In the event things go wrong for his defense, and like say Dak Prescott, say they beat the Colts, but then Dak Prescott comes in here and they just jump out to a heater, like a 10 or 14-0 lead. You have a better chance of coming back with Justin Fields quarterbacking you than you do with Russell Wilson.
Justin Fields did what Steelers fans and Steelers media, who wanted Russell Wilson to win the job. That's the kind of quarterback play the Steelers got from Fields yesterday. The things that media here said Fields struggled to do, process, go through his reads, stand in there, make quick, decisive plays. Oh, they said, well, Russell Wilson's been doing that in practice. Justin Fields is not. Fields played that style. So if what we saw from Fields is the best case scenario from Russell Wilson, if he were to go in and play quarterback, you can't bench Fields and say, I'd prefer the 36-year-old version of that style of quarterback.
The less mobile, less strong-armed version. The shorter version, too, seeing as I think Fields sees over the line better. We know Wilson doesn't attack the middle partly because
he's
not
very tall. But the thing about being accurate, 78% passer, making snap decisions, those were things that people said were strengths more of Russell Wilson than Fields. And then Fields went above and beyond that because he threw to the middle of the field, which is something that Russell Wilson was allergic to.
He also
in
threw it
last year.
He also threw it quicker than Wilson did last year. He's thrown 0.2 seconds quicker. That is a long time in the NFL. He made more decisive decisions and attacked more parts of the field yesterday.
As the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions, and will make business decisions going forward as well.
5:30 on this beautiful Monday after a Steelers win that has them 3-0, and potentially in a few hours the Bengals could start 0-3 if they get upset again at home. I love it when all is right in the Steelers world, and I love when their neighbors have horrible things happen to them, like let's say they forget that their bathtub upstairs is running water, and all of a sudden it just keeps going and it starts overflowing. Whoa. And before you know it,
I almost did that yesterday.
Water damage happens. You start to see the water marks in the ceiling, and then boom,
here comes
falls.
Yeah, I almost did that yesterday.
Really?
With the kitchen sink, I was actually like filling up the sink to do dishes instead of just running the water. I must have been in my little office room in the front of the house for like 5 to 7 minutes, but that damn sink takes so long to fill up, it wasn't even close to the top. I ran out there, Pony, like, oh my God, what did I do? All good.
Antonio Pierce, that is the coach of the Raiders, saying guys are making business decisions when they were getting blown out by Carolina. Now they might have to cut guys or bench guys, including apparently Gardner Minshew. Steelers are there in a couple of weeks. That is looking more and more like a lead pipe lock win. Davante Adams shown on the sideline looking like he wanted to be anywhere else but on that Raiders sideline. Another call that is going to have to get made by Omar Khan. You get told no, fine, but you got to inquire about that guy, given your wide receiver issues and how great of a player Davante Adams is, and seemingly his unhappiness in Vegas. So, if you're willing to give up a second round pick for Ayuk, would you be willing to give up a second-round pick for Davante Adams? My answer is yes, even though he's in his 30s.
He's in his 30s. He is due a lot of money after this year still.
How much of it is dead cap hit stuff, though, that
you can
the
get
Raiders
out for,
just have to deal
with? Well, you could get out after this year if you just wanted him as a rental for $15 million in dead cap, which is a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
He's signed through his base the next couple of years, $35 million.
So more than Ayuk.
Yeah, he's got like a pretty big number here. He's got a cap hit the next two seasons after this one of 44.1 mil.
Oh, man.
Dead cap next year, 15.7. Yeah. Dead cap year after that, 7.8.
I am tiptoeing that back.
I got to just have Spotrac open at all times for this stuff. That's the real story here. God, I think he's a really good player, though, but that is a bit onerous.
The Cowboys defensive lineman DeMarcus Lawrence saying his team is playing Little League football. That's another team the Steelers see very, very soon. Mike McCarthy's homecoming won't be quite as sweet if they keep giving up 200 yards on the ground and giving up four touchdowns by the time the halftime band plays.
Did you see the guy? Dallas. Did you see the crowd shot of the guy in the big hat, the giant oversized Cowboys hat, just looking incredibly crestfallen, down 28-6? It's bad enough that your team's getting their asses beat. Why are you wearing that stupid-ass hat?
The videos that Skip Bayless puts out after Cowboys games.
Cringe.
Is he really that crestfallen by the team, or is this him acting? What do you think? Is it real?
I have option C. I think he's genuinely that crestfallen. Well, as much as he can even be at this point of his life. But I think he's so craven and addicted to attention and constantly being the story that he loves hamming it up like that. I'm going to throw my 18th straight Ezekiel Elliott jersey in the trash.
He had a jersey on in the picture, but I couldn't tell who the number was.
Man, I'm tired of him.
Well, you don't have to worry about him anymore, Mulsey. He ain't on TV anymore.
I know. Just I'm tired of him in general.
Well, I think most of the world was. That's why he's not on FS1 anymore.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, like, go away into retirement. I don't know. Do something else with your life. But I think he would be miserable if he had to talk to his wife, for example. Not eat the same Chinese food he does every single day of the week.
What?
You didn't know this?
Donnie, did you know that he eats Chinese food from the same Chinese restaurant every day?
I knew he had like a weird diet.
He has a regimen.
But I didn't know.
He has a regimen where I think it was like beef and broccoli. It might have been some different stuff, but he would order all of his meals as like takeout at the beginning of the week so he didn't have to think about like eating dinner, and that was what he would do.
So he's just got like chicken broccoli in there that he ordered on Monday.
Yeah,
he's eating leftovers a couple of days ahead.
Yeah. He's planning a couple days ahead. There was a big feature about him, and the rest of it was like my wife understands, or whoever, my girlfriend understands that I cheat on her with football. What a just a psychotic, or like sports in general. What a psychotic.
Do you guys use the same thing with your wife or Sarah, Donnie, where once the Steelers game's over, a man is like, "Oh, good, now you can do stuff with me," and I'm like, "Oh, hold on here. We got Ravens and Cowboys coming up."
Want to know what's the funny part? Alex seems pretty into the fact that we have the quad box. She's like, she asked if I could, you know, because I have it and somebody gave it to me basically as part of a family plan thing, the Sunday ticket and all this. She's like, "Can I get your login so I can put it on at work?" Like,
that's
just
hot.
In like at the, you know, I think like there's a smart TV. Now, I don't know if she was doing it for a patient, putting
that's
it on in
a
TV. On.
They're going to
like,
have Malzi and Alex on the
like,
couch
cool.
Like Jason and Kylie Kelsey.
She is about that life, I think. And she's going to win. Donnie, we have to tell me where your loyalty would lie here. You and I both picked the Bengals to cover in our PM team picks, which can be found on our podcast page. We need them to cover because we don't want Pony to get even further ahead. He's bidding for a perfect week. However, in my neighborhood Survivor League.
Mr. Never gets a prediction right.
I know. Shut up. In our neighborhood Survivor League, there were only 5 people left for this week. 4 have gone down in flames, myself included.
Because of the Bucks.
The Bucks, the Raiders losing. People actually were in on the Raiders. And then the Giants beating the Browns. Alex is el ultima hombre. She is, or whatever that word would be. She is the last woman standing. She's got the Bengals. I think I got to root for Washington, even though that'll give him the pick. Because I think we all get recycled back into the fray
and
for next week.
There's money on the line.
Yes, there is.
Right?
Now, if she
the money would still be entering the Mueller house, to
see,
be fair.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. Like, she wins.
Oh, she'd want to keep.
You guys both win.
She'd want to keep the cash for herself.
As she should.
As she should. I would give her the money. I'd say, here, go do something. This is $100-whatever it is. I would say, please, go take this money and buy something nice.
I mean, you also have the chance. I mean, maybe she throws a couple bucks Malzi's way.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
If you go back into the pot here, you could both lose.
Did you guys see the stat here? That through the first 3 games, the analytics community is saying that Deshaun Watson is the worst starting quarterback the Browns have had among the guys that started weeks one through week three since they came back into the league?
Like rookie Tim, worse than rookie year Tim Couch?
Well, Tim Couch didn't start the first three games.
He was Ty Detmer.
So, well, actually, no, they didn't, because I guess maybe they made a switch 2 weeks in, so they didn't count 99.
Okay.
So going back to Couch in 2000, Watson is the worst. The next worst is Brady Quinn in 2009.
I mean, I would tell you they need to put Jameis out there immediately if they want to salvage
this
season.
They did put him out for a couple snaps. They ran quarterback sneaks with him because apparently Deshaun Watson doesn't want to run quarterback sneaks a la Ben Roethlisberger. How about that? That takes some pretty big balls from a guy making $230 million or $260 million, $230 million guaranteed. Yeah, not running quarterback sneaks there.
He's, at this point, continuing to play him is just sunk cost fallacy. And I'd be trotting out the guy who's probably going to throw two interceptions a game, but he might throw four or five touchdowns randomly.
Randomly, speaking of that, best start to a season through three games among all of the Browns' tortured history of quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer, 2014.
Wasn't Derek Horseballs Anderson in 2007?
He's fourth, behind Kelly Holcomb in 2002 and Tim Couch in 2000.
You know what? That Holcomb team, if they had gotten by the Steelers, that was an interesting group, was it not?
And he cooked the Steelers in the first half of that
game. Oh, my God, did he ever. And frankly,
on the first play.
I mean, every great comeback has situations like this. His receivers let him down. He still made more than enough. Yes, he made more than enough throws to win that game. They absolutely lost it for him, not the other way around.